Philippians chapter 3. This is, if I counted them right, this is the 10th lesson in Philippians. I actually thought we're going to get into chapter 4 a lot more today, but we're not really going to get to chapter 4. And I don't even know if I'll get to all my lessons, some things I might not include. And Philippians chapter 3, Philippians 3. But remember anything that Paul was willing to suffer the loss of all things for in chapter 3? That was last Thursday. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and who count them but dung. Yes, sir?
For the excellency of knowledge.
For the excellency of knowledge. All right. It's good. It's one of them. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Fellowship of suffering. Good. Starting to jog your memory now. Yes, sir.
Power of resurrection.
Power of his resurrection. Good. Those are all some of them that I may win Christ. Just there's several of them. And so that's kind of where we left off. So let's start at verse 17 today. Brethren, be followers together. By the way, did Paul really literally lose everything?
Yes.
Yeah, he really did. He literally lost everything. We say phrases like that sometimes that aren't really literally true, but in his case, it probably really was. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I told you often and now tell you even weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let's stop there and let's pray and talk about that. Father, thank you for the word of your word. We believe we just read the words of God, Father. And that's amazing that they were penned by a human, and then they were passed all the way down to us, and we're able to read them and know what you think and know what you want us to live like. We praise you for the word of God. It's our only authority. Lord, this church is completely set up to be free to follow your word. And Lord, I know we don't do it perfectly, but I pray that you continue to reveal, as you do two verses before this, and say, if there's anything else wrong, you'd reveal it even unto us. And I pray you show us what we ought to do. I pray tonight we get the doctrine, the truth, the wisdom, the application for our lives. I pray to impact us and give us ears to hear and knowledge to transform. And may the truth set us free by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want to jump right into is in verse 17 is be careful to choose the right people to follow. Be careful to choose the right people to follow. I really could elaborate a lot on this point and preach a whole sermon on it. It's very important. Look at verse 17, but I want you to realize that verse 17 doesn't stand alone. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So he says, you know, follow me and mark people who are going to walk like I walk, and are going to walk right, and use them for examples also. And then the verse 4 in verse 18, 4, many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you now weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. It connects the two verses, the word 4 there. So follow me, and follow and mark and follow the ones who you have for an example, for there's many that walk contrary, and walk wrong, and walk the wrong way. I want to say in following, we don't like to follow. We say I'm not a follower of man, by the way, I don't follow man. You heard that phrase somewhere from somebody, and you're following them. Okay, everybody. I tell you, this took me a long time to understand, because. My nature is my upbringing is anti-authority, and I'm extremely independent. And on top of that is I'm very original. You know, I'm kind of creative in the way I do things. I don't like imitating anybody. I just don't. It's just, I don't know why. I just don't. And so I'm, as a matter of fact, most of my life, if somebody did something a certain way and anybody knew I was going to be acting like them, I'd not do it just so nobody think I was following them. It's just kind of the way I was. And it took me a long time to realize that everybody follows. Everybody follows. And even when you don't know you're following, take a rebel. Rebel says, nobody can tell me what to do. Do you know he learned that from a movie somewhere? Even as people who are rebellious learn rebellion from somebody else, and they're following somebody else. Most everybody, and I have found, once I realized that almost had to come out of the American culture and go in a different culture and watch them follow Americans. They say, you know, they're trying to follow us. And we all act the same because everybody's following everybody else. And even the way that a pastor would pastor a church, sometimes in a foreign field, they are following an American missionary who followed someone in America because I know who they followed. And I go in some field and I see some church somewhere do something a certain way. I say, he learned that at pastor school. Or he learned that in a leadership conference. Because that's what, and nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. People, we naturally follow. I've had to tell people a million times, you're following your parents. No, I don't follow my parents. You follow your parents. How many people have had told me, I'm just a hard worker. I've always been a hard worker. Why? I just am. That's just something I always decided to do. Your dad's a hard worker. Well, how do you know that? Never mind. You just thought of it yourself. People follow. And it's good. It's a Bible thing. Here's a funny thing. You do not realize how you need to follow many times until you have to lead. And then all of a sudden, because you are following your leaders, you didn't realize it. No, I go into work and do my own thing. Where do you go to work? And where do you punch in? And where do you go to a workstation? Yeah, but I do my own thing at that workstation. You are led in all those steps, and there's nothing wrong with that. See, we are, and it's important. The reason I'm saying this is because it's important you realize, why do I stand behind a pulpit? That's right. And so I can hide my belly. But why do I stand behind a pulpit? Well, okay, Nehemiah 8, Nehemiah or Ezra 8, one of the two, they stood on a pulpit, actually. They stood on a pulpit. It was a different kind of pulpit. And it's Ezra 8. And they took the whole day and read the Bible. And so, a pulpit we stand in front. Actually, it's to hold my water. And so, but that's what we do. I've preached many a times on a pulpit. But that's the way we do it. And why do we sit during church service? It'd be easier to stay awake if we stood. Right? Why do we have church on, why do most churches have, we don't. Why do most churches have church on Wednesday night? It's just a pattern. Nothing wrong with it. It's a good pattern. And you realize how much you follow. And I say that to say this, you're going to follow. You're going to follow. And that's a good thing. You say, I'm not going to follow anybody. You're going to follow somebody. You're going to get on the road and you're going to follow. You're not going to go the wrong way in the interstate. Some people will, but they've been drinking a lot. Okay? You're going to follow. You eat at the times you eat because you're following. Do you know that? Do you know different countries eat different amount of meals? Do you know if you go in the South, you might find they eat a different type of meal, a different type of day than you might eat here? And you sit there and it's nothing wrong with it. It's just the nature of somebody. Here's this spectrum we get put into as an American. This is our spectrum of following. So you might be over on this edge and say, I'm totally independent. No, you're exactly the same as the other independent people in America. I'm a nonconformist. You and 6,000 other Americans who act exactly the same and all have mohawks. I'm an anarchist. You ever notice all the anarchists look and dress the same? Let me guess, you're going to wear a gas mask at the riot. Why? Because you're following. They taught you a pattern. You learn patterns. And so in this realm of the way we act here, and we all kind of follow. So what you do is you pick who you follow because you're going to follow. And he says, be followers together of me. Why? For many walk wrong. Most everybody follows somebody or some pattern that was put into their mind. Sometimes they learn that pattern from TV. Sometimes they learn it from their parents. Sometimes they learn it from the hero. You can watch a little kid and watch two little 7 or 5 year old kids wrestle, and they'll wrestle like whatever show they watch. Whoa! Where did they learn that? You can tell. Are they watching Ninja Turtles? They watching Transformers? I mean, you can figure out what show they've been watching. Or if they jump on their head, they're playing Mario Brothers all day. They learned it and they imitate it. Okay? And so he says, you be careful who you follow and follow some people. He says, brethren, be followers together of me. And pick some other good people to follow. And pick patterns that are following Christ. That's the key there. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Be followers of me, as I also am of Christ. Now, Paul was kind of in the very front. Paul was learning how to plant churches, how to start mission trips, how to live the Christian life. He was writing the scripture, so he was an original pattern. But he was patterning everything he could after Jesus. Okay? And so, there are original people who will be out in front and leading and follow the ones who are following Christ. Now, if they don't follow Christ, you don't follow them. Because you follow someone who's closer to Christ than you, someone who's ahead of the Christian life, someone who you can imitate, and then find and find others like that. Pick patterns that are following Christ. Usually good to have several good patterns going the same direction. Let's go back there to Philippians 3. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. You're going to have some people in your church now, Philippi, that you can mark those and say, I want to be like them. And so there are people who are better at the family than I am, so I'll follow them in the family. Somebody else has better finances than I am. I will follow them. But they're all kind of the same type of people. They're all godly people following Christ. And so somebody else, they're real good at soul winning. And so I want to follow how they're doing it. I'm going to learn from them how to be a soul winner. And I'm following them as they follow Christ. And it says, follow me and follow them. See, Paul didn't say, I'm the only one to follow. That's when you get into a cult. He says, mark those who walk right too and follow them. And in a church, you'll find God will give you someone to follow. God will give you some people in the church who in some area, and maybe not every area, but some area you're struggling, you say, you know what, they're doing that right. They seem to have succeeded in that. And by the way, according to Hebrews 13, a good way to pick is considering the end of their conversation, the end of their lifestyle. Kind of, you know, if they're getting evicted, then don't ask them about finances. If they are 400 pounds, don't ask them how to keep your health good. If they get, you know, rolling pin marks over their face, don't ask her, you know, how to be a sweet wife. I mean, you consider the end and how they turn out and stuff. And so Paul had others who walked, but they all walked the same way. He says, the ones who walk in like I'm walk, mark those ones. Say they are a good example and follow them. And by the way, that's you here on Thursday, and I don't want you to understand that. You're the core of the church. You're the people who come on Sunday morning are looking for someone to follow, even if they don't know it. Someone to admire. And all of you have got to be strong and consistent and steady and being there all the time, because God is going to point someone to you. And you're going to say, me? I don't want to be following me. No, you need to say, you know what? I'm going to be a leader, since I know I'm advanced enough. I come and I'm faithful. I'm a part of the church. I need to be there for when God has someone to follow me. I don't take them off a cliff. I'm the blind leading the blind. And so he says, so mark those who are a pattern. Next, if you're following the good, you do not follow the bad. That's what, watch. Brethren, be followers together of me, mark them which have you have so walked for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and I'll tell you weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He says, follow these ones, for there are many who walk, and follow how they walk, because there's many who walk the wrong way. In other words, he's saying, follow these people so you don't follow these people. You know why? Because your nature and the world and the devil makes people naturally follow the bad. If you went around and went to teenagers in our society and said, who's your hero? Very few are going to pick a super moral, high character, clean-cut, decent person. It is people like, just watch this. At work, if there's a nasty, loud complainer at work, people gather around them to listen to them. Because your flesh likes rebellion. It's natural. And so naturally we follow rebellion. We like the rebel. I mean throughout Hollywood forever, it's the bad guy who's on the posters. Okay? And so we understand we will naturally follow the bad. And so we've got to pick the good to follow. That way we won't be following the bad. And so he says, first of all, make sure you do that. Number two, some people will leave the right path. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and tell you now even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He says, these people you can't follow anymore, and I'm weeping about them. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. So it tells a lot about them right there. I want you to understand, Paul had a problem in Corinth of people who were leading them wrong. The churches in Galatia had a problem within the churches of people leading them wrong. There were bad leaders who were brought in there, and there are people who in the church were going to be people not to follow. And some people will leave the right path and do wrong. And these people now that he says, don't follow these people, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And it breaks my heart, he says. And I want you to understand that people are going to leave Christ and it's going to break your heart. But don't follow them. It's just going to happen. It happened in the Bible times. I'm going to turn to 1 John 2 and look into this a little bit. I was going to get a lot farther, but I decided to just delve into this a little farther. People who leave the right path. I used to wonder, man, we have people who go away from Christ sometimes, and I think we've done some things to help that happen less. We have people who go away or backslide or who disappear. They've been coming to church, they're faithful, and now they're gone. And once I started talking to a lot of people in ministry and traveling a lot, I realized, you know, people do that everywhere. And I started studying my Bible. I found out, you know what? It happened in the New Testament times. I guess it's a human condition. Can't get too down about it. We're humans. And 1 John 2. Little children, it is the last time. And verse 18, sorry. I'm going to read verses 18 through 21. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. What's the subject? Anybody? Antichrists, plural. Antichrist shall come, but there's many Antichrists. They, Antichrists, went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that it might be manifest they were not all of us. You know what it said there? It says the Antichrists were among us, and eventually they departed from us. Why do people leave the right path? First of all, some were not really of the truth. Some were not really of the truth. These people had the spirit of Antichrist in them. There's many Antichrists. It means against Christ. And they have that. The spirit of Antichrist went with New Testament believers. They were in among the believers as they were going out. He said they went out from us and they did not continue with us. They were in the New Testament churches. The spirit of Antichrist. People who were filled with the spirit of Antichrist were in the middle of the churches. And it sounds kind of shocking and crazy. How can anybody not see him? Because they don't wear, you know, capes and have vampire teeth. And, but it became manifest by them leaving, it says, verse 19. But they went out, at the end of the verse, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The spirit of Antichrist did that. Let me take you just a little bit back since we're near there. 2 Peter and chapter 2. Some people just aren't of the truth. Verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end of them is worse. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb: a dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Just they returned back and showed what they really were. And they're a fool, foolish, and so they leave. See, sometimes that they are not really of the truth. They are there for the wrong reasons. They are there as a plant from Satan sometimes. Let's look at the book of Acts and chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. This is Paul talking to the elders from Ephesus and from the region of Asia around there. And the people that Paul had trained, he says, some of you are going to be the enemies of the cross of Christ and start teaching perverted things. That's pretty shocking, isn't it? But he said it's going to happen. And wolves are going to come in among you. And by the way, I want to say, I get along real good with Christians in our community and stuff. I don't really yoke up with them necessarily, but born again Christians, I know a decent amount of them and the ministries and people who go to them. And I witness to people all the time and find people in churches who go to different churches and they tell me what's going on in their churches. They just talk. And I'm sitting there and thinking, you guys got issues. You guys got people in there that are demonic in that church that are causing big problems. And it sounds like the pastor maybe is trying to do the right thing, and there's a group of people trying to do the right thing, but there's someone in the church who's just flat out evil. And it says that's going to happen. I think it's interesting. The best solution to it. Notice the word in here. What's the best protection and solution against this? Look at let's see, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. What's the best protection against them? Biggest thing there, after my departure. somebody once said that the head of every great institution is one mean person. And it sounds like that's true, but that needs to be with a dad. That's not coming to my home. That needs to happen to the church. Pastor says, we're not doing that here. And there was a long period of time where I was very naive and wanted everybody in the church. Those days are gone a long time ago. I've seen people who are there to reap havoc. And you know what? I'll go have a talk with them. We'll have a little sit down and talk, and we'll say, listen, we aren't going to do this. And, you know, and if they say, well, why did I say, you know, there's lots of churches. But I'm just letting you know, not we're going to have a meeting about this. We're not having a meeting. The meeting's already met. Me and God met, and we decided we're not going to do this. And why? Because we don't want that. We don't want wolves. We don't want deceivers in the church. We don't want a tug of war of doctrine in the church. We believe these certain things. It's in our doctrinal statement. It's going to be that way. If you don't believe in the Trinity, you don't believe in the deity of Christ, you don't believe in salvation by grace through faith, go start a church somewhere and see what happens. Because he says, I will keep them out. But when I leave, they're going to come in. And that's what wolves do. When the shepherd's not there, the wolves come in. And so Paul, with his authority and power, by the way, that's why I had to write back to churches. Because as soon as he left, look at the church, book of Galatians. He went back to the law and other things. And so you see the problem there. Wolves will move in among you. Look at Galatians chapter 1. It's a great example of it, and so we'll go there. The first reason people leave is because they weren't really of the truth, and it was manifest in that situation. Now, John said they left us. It proved they weren't part of us. They weren't really Christians. In Galatians 1, verse 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, which should pervert the gospel of Christ. They're within the church. Churches. This is written to many churches. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, now say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, here's the balance that God gives here. Paul says, follow me, but then he says, if I come and preach another gospel, let me be accursed. It is so funny. Somebody will go here and say, you know what? I'm not going to follow any man. You know what? I follow only Jesus. That's way over here out of the biblical doctrine. You're swinging out of the pendulum here. On the other side, it is, you know what? Preacher said it. It must be true. That's also outside of God's pendulum. He says, if an angel from heaven comes down and preach a different gospel, let him be accursed. He says, listen, the balance here is, you follow people who are following the Bible. And understand, if they depart from the Bible, then you follow the Bible. And you keep on that track. But you do follow man. And so it's God's balance and God's way to do that. But he says they're going to be among you. The truth is about these people is they're not saved. 1 John chapter 3, and it comes out later. Lack of salvation brings a manifest itself. But let me take you to 1 John chapter 3. And let's read verse. Let's read verse 14. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And so it's revealed. You know, let's see. There's some other verses. I'm not going to turn to them. It's in chapter two. We read earlier also, and chapter 4 and some other verses. But he says, you know, it's manifest. It was manifest that they were not of us. Hereby perceive we that we're the truth. He that abides in the doctrine of God is of the truth. And other verses here in 1 John. A good example of this is Judas. Judas was among them, but he was always immoral and something was always wrong there. Remember, he always tried to steal for the money? And Judas was among them, and he was the one who betrayed Christ, but he wasn't saved. Jesus said, there's some of you who don't believe. And the Bible says Judas went to his own place. His own place is not my Father's house. Okay, and so it's because they're not saved. So some people, because they are not really of the truth, and we will, and I don't think we have any false prophets among us or any wolves among our church, because they usually manifest themselves and do certain things. I've got a list of things they do. I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but I don't think we have that, but we will. We will. So... You know, the protection against that is, of course, a preacher that preaches the Word of God and people who study their own Bibles and people who won't allow that. You want me to go into it? You want to go into what? How you can tell them? There's some things. Should I go into that? It's part of that. Okay. Go to Jude then. I'll just dip into that real quick. It's a lot of things, but there's about four things you generally see in them. And it comes out. Because they're very hard to spot at first. But they eventually reveal themselves. Jude and verse 3. And Jude is all about this, by the way. It's about false prophets. Beloved, verse 3, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. For there were certain men crept in unawares. There they are again, sneakily. Nobody noticed they snuck in. Who were, by the way, that's one thing that's nice about a small church. We know who comes in. Big churches, they can cause problems before anybody knows what happened. Someday we're in a big church, we'll have to be very careful about that. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained under this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God that bought them. Verse 8, likewise these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. And so there's a few things about them. Notice lasciviousness. Notice the lasciviousness and how they were that way. And verse 10, they speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. These are earthly, sensual, devilish people. First of all, there's sexual perversion oftentimes in them. Sexual immorality in them many times. There's a lustfulness in them. There's several verses on that. Secondly, and we're going real briefly, they're anti-authority. Verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Even Michael the archangel, when contending with Satan about the body of Moses, we don't know the story behind that. Even Michael wouldn't bring a railing accusation against Lucifer, but said the Lord rebuke thee. He says, you know what? Even Michael doesn't attack authorities. And these people speak evil of authority, and they're anti-authority. And here's how they talk. You ready? I experienced them in my home church. I didn't know I was experiencing them. I was ignorant. I didn't know they were trying to split the church. And I met with them. And pastor's a good man, but that's how they usually start. And then they go and tell you why they're not a good man. And so let me take you to 3 John. And they're anti-authority. Notice that pretty quick. Let me take you to. Let me switch first. I want to read here. What I want to go into. Yep, let's go to verse 3 John, verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such, we may by fellow helpers of the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds as he doeth, prating against us with the malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. What is Diotrephes, the guy who is anti-authority, wouldn't listen to John, wouldn't let John's letters be read in church, so they're anti-authority. Next, they're greedy. And go back to Jude there. They're greedy people, and again, it says this consistently. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says this also. And Jude verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone after the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perish in the gainsaying of Kor. And it continues to describe them and things that they do. I want to say that almost all the false prophets on TV are all after money. And they're very wealthy. And it just goes with them. It's part of what they are. 1 Timothy 6 says the same thing. And they're also sensual and all those things. And so you should rebuke these people and reject them. Do not worry about being nice to them. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And that's what you do. All right, okay, let's go back. Some are just not of the truth, and that's why we're back to don't follow certain people, because some people leave the cross of Christ. And so the first reason is because they're not really of the truth. Secondly, though, some people are saved. Some people simply fall. They just fall into sin. 1 Corinthians 10:12, let him that thinketh that he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. Ananias and Sapphira, they were in the New Testament church, and they died in church because they just fell. They went and did wrong, and you and I need to be careful because we can fall. Sometimes a saved person gets away from God and leaves, and you can't follow them because they've left God. And sometimes people just fall into sin. There's no sin-proof church. You're just going to have humans in there who can fall, and they're going to be. By the way, you lock them in a monastery, and they'll still sin. They're humans. They're fallen creatures. We find all kinds of ways to sin. And sometimes you just fall. So don't say, they must not be saved. They fell away from God. No. They're human. And let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. Never say, I'd never do that. Be careful. This is a man saying, have a baby or something. I mean, you know, but you might. You might do anything bad because we're all humans. Next, why do some people fall away? Some go back to the old life of pleasure. Some go back to the old life of pleasure. 2 Timothy 4:10, but Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And those are the verses we could read on that. Next, why do some people fall away? They don't want the pressures and sacrifices of the Christian life. I think this is probably about as common as all the rest of them combined. You say, well, you know, we're not like we're getting martyred or anything, but and very few people, just a few people, will just say, I'm, you know what, I can't take the pressure of the Christian life. They just, there's a bunch of lines, I can tell you the lines that they use when they're going to backslide because they cannot handle the heat of the kitchen of the Christian life. And I just need to get away for a while. I need a break. There's too much pressure. People, I feel like people are pressuring me. Just a bunch of things like that. Nobody pressuring them. But they feel a bunch of things. And somebody say, hey, can you go soul in with me? And that's enough to make them leave the church and they're too pressured. I mean, you know, if you think that's pressure, man, you must not have a job. You know, I mean, come on. You must not have ever went to school. I mean, because that's not very much pressure. Will you do something with me? And by the way, when your friend says, will you go to dinner with me? You don't get offended at them, right? Because they just asked you something. I mean, you know, just wondering. They don't want the pressure of the Christian life. Let's look at John chapter, let's look at Matthew 13 first. The pressure of the Christian life, the sacrifices that are required. That's why Jesus told us, hey, count the costs before you start serving me because there's going to be some costs. And going to church is a cost. And staying in church is a cost. And losing some friends is a cost. And not being popular is a cost. And not sleeping as much sometimes is a cost. And reading your Bible and not watching bad things and spending time doing good things, it's a cost. And people get offended because of that and they don't want the pressure of it. Verse 20. Matthew 13, 20 and 21, but he that received the seed in this into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but doeth endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. That's the heat and sacrifice, the Christian life, the pressures of it. So he's offended, so he withers away and dies. Let me take you to John 6. It happened to Jesus, and Jesus, you know what? He knew it was coming. And even Jesus, people left him often. They left him often because they said, no, I don't want to do that. It's too much. It's too hard. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? I'm so glad that verse is there. Sometimes I feel like I'm preaching things and I'm going, I know the Bible says this, but I don't think anybody's ever heard this before. And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said to them, does this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, is this the spirit that quick? It is a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who it was who believed not, who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him and my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Look at verse 67. And Jesus said to the 12, will ye also go away? Wow, what a passage. Boy, I used to chase people and say no, and it's you know, okay, fine. You don't have to do all that. I'm getting to be a crankier pastor in my old age, and it's not cranky. I just say, you know what? It's what we're going to preach. It's a kind of sacrifice the Bible demands. You're not talking about martyrdom. I'm talking about sacrifice and time and dedication and prayer and being there and giving and loving and working and ministry. And it's, I know you're tired, I know you're busy, and I know you got a million things to do. But you know what? being embarrassed, out witnessing, being going out and standing for Christ, going to church and the doors are open, all those things, you know what? That we also go away. And you know what? Not everybody wants that. Some people are longing to hear that preached. But some people, most Christians in America, they're going, nah, that didn't sound right. God doesn't want us unhappy. And so, I don't think it's an unhappy life, by the way. It's a wonderful life. But a lot of people just said, I don't want to go through that. And sometimes I've found, well, I got this issue, and this is so hard for me, and I have emotional this, and this problem, and this is really tough, and this came into my life, and I've got this going on, and this, and this, and this. You know, it's never painted by the Satan where it's just, I'm leaving Jesus because I hate him. It's just you're not willing to make the sacrifice that you'll need to keep on going to church, praying, reading your Bible, winning souls, loving your neighbor, loving your enemies, loving Jesus, and putting him first. You just have to pay the price, and it's just a price you're not willing to pay. And if you're not, you're not. And you'll go away. And then you'll find a reason. There'll be some reason then. But really the reason is because we don't want to pay the price for the Christian life. Will you also go away? Jesus says, yeah, it was pretty tough. Hey guys, I'm sacrificing for you a little bit too. And so you got to think that way. You got to say, you know what? I might come to the point, someone in church might say, I don't want to sacrifice my Sundays anymore. I don't want to sacrifice my time. I don't want to sacrifice my Saturdays. I don't want to sacrifice my spouse and the other time with me. I don't want to sacrifice my movie time when I need to pray. And you'll go away. And that's just because we just don't want to sacrifice anymore. And so context, Philippians chapter 3 again. Christian life costs something to serve Jesus. It's not a free ride. It's not just God blessing you. It's you giving, it's not your God and he's there to serve you. It's he's God and you're there to serve him. And that's why some go away. So what do we do? Verse chapter 4. Well, let's finish up here. Let's finish chapter 3. We must keep our mind. This is point 3. Point 1, be careful to choose the right people to follow. Point 2, some will lead the right path. Just part of the deal. Point 3, we must keep our mind and our heart in the right place. Some people mind earthly things, verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly thing. For our conversation, strange word there, politic puts a word of the word politic in it. It means citizenship, our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who so changed our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. We are going to keep our mind in the right place in heaven, not on this earth, not on the things that please us. Otherwise, we'll go away too. Set your affection on things above. And one more verse, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, because of this, my brethren, because we're going to heaven, Jesus coming, because we can't go away from God, minding earthly things and be destroyed. Therefore, my beloved brethren, my longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. What does that mean? Stay with it. Stay with it. Keep on following the right path and don't follow the wrong path. Get your mind on heaven because some people are going to depart, but don't you do it. Don't you do it. And listen, I marvel the people that I went to Bible college with, as hard as and as much suffering as they had to do just to get out of that place and graduate. How many of them have departed? My roommate I was with the whole time. Became a missionary. He's departed. Know him well. Departed. And I say, you gotta make sure. You gotta make sure. My home church is a big church with a lot of people. They run well over 1,000 people. And big church, successful church, great church. From their original, they had 75 their first service. And from when I was there, I started when the church was about 4 months old. The church was, it was smaller than that. The first service, 75. But they have one family left from the start. One family. Now, there's some families been there 20 years, but the church is pushing 30 years. It's It's 28, I think, 1984. It started 29. And I look at that and I just say, man, how many people? And I know some people move, some people die and all those things. But boy, I tell you, there's a big turnover in churches because people aren't willing to stay faithful and stand fast. I thank God we have a good amount of people who have been here 6-7 years now. 10 years, 15 years, we have some. It's very rare nowadays. And outside of the old denominational churches that are, I mean, the old denominational churches that have been there for 75 years, 100 years, 150 years, who people were born in that church and started going to that church. And if that church could have Satan preaching on Sunday, they'd still go to that church. Outside of those churches, most churches have these incredible amount of people who don't stay with it. Because it did in New Testament church times. Because there's a lot of pitfalls if you're not careful. Be very careful to stay strong and on the right path. And don't just on a whim do something foolish. You steadfast, unmovable, abiding in Christ, because many depart. And Jesus asked, will you also go away? And when Jesus is preaching, and they're watching miracles left and right, and he says, here's what you got to do to serve me. And they said, you're kidding, right? He said, no. You got to sacrifice. And you got to serve me. And all of a sudden, people start going, I'm not doing this. When they did it when Jesus was alive and he was doing those miracles, oh, man, it's going to happen to us. It's going to happen to churches today with a selfish mindset of America. It's about you. And so let's make sure we're not the ones who do that and we don't get discouraged when others do it. All right. Questions? Stand fast. Stand fast. Let him find you right on the right path. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for all it teaches us. I pray you'd help us to stand fast in the truth and bless this lesson, Lord. It's a very sobering message, but Paul had to say it even weeping there. Now the enemies, the cross of Christ. Lord, John experienced it. Jesus experienced it. Wow. I pray, Lord, that we'd be people who follow the right examples in our lives, be willing to keep on the right path and stay in the right path and keep our mind on heaven and think about the rewards we'll get if we stay in the right path. Help us to love you enough to stay right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming tonight.